Here in the studio of KWMR, West Marin Community Radio, I'm Lance Filmer, taking this half hour to sneak in a couple of conversations with residents from Mesa Refuge Writers Retreat. And I'm joined now by the Reverend Dr. Lauren Artress. Lauren, thanks so much for coming in.
It's a pleasure, for sure.
Well, let's get the word labyrinth out there right away.
That's right. I was thinking about how Steve was talking about how difficult it is to introduce that other word, anthropocene. Labyrinth is as well. Labyrinth is Latin. If you use the Greek, it's dramanon.
Dramanon,
yes. Yes, walking, to walk. And that's what a labyrinth is. It's often confused with a maze, which, of course, it's not. Because a labyrinth is one path, and so if you imagine a large circle about 40 feet across in diameter, and it has one path that weaves in a very circuitous way from the outer edge into a rather large and elegant center. And it's simply a way, a pattern that you walk, and as you walk it, it quiets the mind.
So it's a form of meditation.
Yes, it is. It's a walking meditation. It's a watering hole for the spirit as well.
That's a great phrase. Watering hole for the spirit. Well, Lauren Artress is an honorary canon at Grace Cathedral in San Francisco, and you and the group Viriditas, I believe, are responsible for the labyrinth that's there.
That's right. There's two of them, actually.
Oh, two. I have only seen one sort of out by the front door, if you will.
Right. There's one indoors as well. That was put in, well, we started in 1991 and started in canvas form. And I didn't realize it at that point, but traveling with a canvas is a way of kind of seeding different labyrinths all around, well, all around the world, actually.
When did, so 91, 92, is that when Viriditas formed?
No, actually, because the work originally started at Grace Cathedral. I was canon pastor, and it was during the AIDS crisis moving into the epidemic. I was knowing that that was not my work. I was burnt out after about 4 years. And so I was saying and asking, well, what's my next step? Which, by the way, is a great labyrinth question. And so I went off to a workshop with Jean Houston, and she was the one who introduced me to the labyrinth. And I just happened to have a cathedral handy. And so I went over to Chartres and took measurements, or tried to at least, and walked the labyrinth there, which has been closed for about 250 years. So it was a matter of moving the chairs rather secretly, so to speak. And then we, after walking, it was a really a profound, wonderful experience. And then that helped us agree that, yes, we needed the labyrinth at Grace Cathedral.
Do you know how far back the use of the labyrinth goes, say, within the Christian religion?
The design is actually found in a 6th-century manuscript. It's interesting, and fairly much, very specifically and quite close to what is on the floor in Chartres Cathedral in France. And that labyrinth was there, probably put in 1201, certainly between 1200 and 1210, but we date it to 1201. And it was probably a way of teaching people, an illiterate population, about the journey to God or about the path of life, something in that area to teach people and have an experience about it in the body.
One of the things I'm just realizing that has puzzled me about a labyrinth and thinking of it in a metaphorical sense, you see the whole thing. It's all clear right in front of you. It is the one, just one path, so you're not going to get stuck as in a maze. Life doesn't seem like that, Lauren. I can't see through the trees. The forest is in my way.
That was actually my initial ignorant reaction on my part, because it was, you know, I thought, oh, this isn't a challenge. I mean, come on, life has so many choices to it, and, you know, hey, what, you know, geez. But then after walking it a few times, the pattern is such an intense pattern, because the path is not wide. It's not wide on purpose. It's about, it's a little less than human being shoulders. But being drawn into it, then what happens is whole bunches of stuff happen inside. And it really mirrors where we are on the journey. I mean, some people are frightened that they're going to lose their way. Oh, my God, I'll lose my way. No, it's just flat to the floor,
mm-hmm.
like you're saying. There are some labyrinths with walls. There are some, but mm-hmm. the ones we have at Grace Cathedral and mostly around the United States and in the world are flat to the floor, and they're called pavement labyrinths or sometimes church labyrinths. But they found their way into hospitals and hospice mm-hmm. centers and parks and prisons and spas. And so it's really because of the versatility of the labyrinth that it's able to go into many places.
Why does it work the way it does?
Oh, it's a great question. That's what my book is about. That's what I'm writing in Mesa Refuge, or trying to.
Yes.
This is my fourth book out in the world about labyrinths, and I've always talked about how to use it and different ways of using it and applications and all of that. But the labyrinth, and I'm specifically working with one kind, and that's called the 11th Circuit Medieval Labyrinth.
Okay.
It's also nicknamed the Chartres Labyrinth. But you use the word circuit since it's not a maze, and the one path goes around the center 11 times. And that's my heart song. That's the labyrinth that speaks to me.
Mm.
And it does the work I want to do in the world. And why it works, I think, is a key that we actually have lost in lost knowledge, really. But the structure of the path, it's actually a mind map. And it's a way of integrating left brain, right brain. Now, I don't think the people, probably great masters of spirit that created this pattern, knew that. They knew it intuitively, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But when people walk a labyrinth, they feel very peaceful. You kind of come home to yourself. As long as you're following your natural pace, not something your mind says, oh, my God, I'm in a big cathedral, so I have to really walk really, really, really slow. You have to be authentic in sync and in alignment with your own energies. So that's two of the things I'm pointing toward of why it works. But the structure, the mastery of the design is probably the key to it.
I can easily imagine some neuroscientists working to find out how the walking of the particular circuit, where it's sparking in the brain and what parts of the brain are lighting up and responding to it.
That's right. I've actually walked it with a mind mirror just once. Your head's all, wired up and someone's walking behind you.
Yes.
It's a biofeedback
machine.
And, some people are able, through meditation, to quiet one hemisphere. In the labyrinth, it was really easy to quiet both hemispheres. And you can see on the mind mirror. You
mm-hmm.
can see what's happening. So, yes, we want to encourage research. In fact, Herbert Benson, the guy who gave us the word stress and relaxation response, right? I don't know whether to thank him or not, but at least we have it named, he's done some research. We want to encourage much more, but on his website he gives a shout-out to walking labyrinths as a way of reducing stress and bringing in relaxation.
Well, a number of people I know who are creative in a variety of fields often will say, I have to go walk,
mm-hmm.
clear my mind, get the other garbage out, and up is going to come.
That's right.
My next step on this project.
That's right.
Whatever it is.
Because that's one of the challenges of any artist, but certainly as we move into an age where we need to create and have answers come toward us, is quieting the mind enough to be able to harvest the images.
Ooh, what an image. Harvest the images. Ooh.
Yeah, to be able to bring them toward us, to be able to use them in a way that pieces together new puzzles in terms of our world, our environment, our lives.
Well, I think that touches very closely on something that we were beginning to touch on with Steve Dunsky about a scientific approach linked with an older approach,
mm-hmm.
A native people's approach to something. So an intellectual approach with a more intuitive approach.
That's
I'm not
right.
sure those are the right words for it.
Well,
but
yeah, the labyrinth is a template from much earlier on. Totally before Descartes walked the world stage, labyrinths were around. And we don't know all about that, but yes, indeed, it is doing that integration, the dance between our modern science or our even future science, and where we were and what helped us in ages before this.
And you, it says you are exploring meditation, the imagination, and archetypes.
Yes.
In context of the labyrinth.
Yes. So. The labyrinth actually is an archetype, and people...
Oh, of course.
The
yes.
circle.
Yes.
And the spiral, actually, because the path is in a complex spiral pattern into the center. And, of course, the circle is an archetype of unity and wholeness.
Mm-hmm.
But not only that, and that's why it's in the Christian tradition, but it's much broader than the Christian tradition. This is why we use it in hospitals and hospice and in parks, and it just has that versatility that I was mentioning. And so it also, though, is a path, it's a way of connecting into our own imaginations. It's active imagination, you know, that Carl Jung certainly underlined and underscored, is part of the activity. And we need new archetypes to come forward. We need new patterns. We need new understandings. Now, archetypes are always coming forward. I mean, look at the archetype that's coming forward right now is the zombie. Really?
Haven't we done that yet?
There's a big, you know, series coming out this year.
Oh, my goodness.
The zombie apocalypse.
Oh, my goodness.
So, but if we look in the mirror of the imagination of the planet and the collective unconscious, you know, we can see what's arising, and we also can also name and bring forth what's arising in us
mm-hmm.
that hopefully moves in a healing way, in a connected way to community.
Dr. Lauren Artress, Reverend Dr. Lauren Artress, is an honorary canon at Grace Cathedral, and she's at Mesa Refuge Writers Retreat working on a new book to explore the labyrinth in context of meditation, imagination, and archetypes. And Lauren, I see that you are the 2016 Alice Durant's Spiritual Writing Fellow.
I'm very fortunate. It's a wonderful gift to have 2 weeks to be able to write in quiet and privacy, yet with new friends as well.
If people would like to find out more about your past work as well as your present work, where would you send them?
To Veriditas, so let me spell that. Veriditas website, veriditas.org.
And that means what? I can almost guess it.
Yeah,
but
so we borrowed it from Hildegard of Bingham, the 12th century mystic, actually 10th century a mystic. She used that word to describe the greening power of God, the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're doing. We're greening the planet with labyrinths.
Veritas is the word that's trying to say, speak to
that's
me out
right.
of that.
That's truth. Yeah,
yes.
That's truth. And this it's Latin, but it's for greening, verdancy.
Oh, beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Reverend Dr. Lauren Artress.
Wonderful.
Thank you for
here.
Coming in, and enjoy your time at Mesa Refuge.
Thank you.
You, dear listener, please stay tuned, because coming up in a couple of minutes, it's the Youth DJ Project here on KWMR, West Marin Community Radio.
Out of the darkness and into the light to fight the peaceful warrior's fight. Such a beautiful sight, and the way you feel watching you.